it's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon, and this is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yes, 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 we are back. Back in the building, back in your ear, crystal clear. It is me. Ali is away. He will be back soon. But in the meantime, it is you and I. I hope you're good. Actually, how are you doing? Let me know. How you doing? Okay. Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Wow, I'm glad that you brought that up. I've kind of been waiting. I'm glad that you know what I mean, addressed that situation, and I agree. We'll talk about that another time. But yeah, glad that you're here. Glad that you're lending your ear, you know. I'm chilling. I'm in the crib. I'm avoiding all of this heat. We back in the midst of a heat wave. I'm doing this right now with no AC. Plenty of ice water on deck. Matter of fact, I'm going to take a sip real fast. Hopefully you can make it through this joint with no AC. No AC. Hopefully, I think we could do it as long as we put our minds to it. It's a cool week. I had a good week so far. So far, this week has been pretty good. Besides this damn heat wave coming. It's supposed to be 100 tomorrow. I'm tired of all of that, but I did get my AC situation seemingly situated, so we'll see. We'll see how the AC holds up to this 100. That's the true test. That is the true test. We'll see if we are fully equipped and ready. Either way, Con Ed has been taxing me, so it's got to work out. This weekend was cool. I did not go to any of the Jay-Z concerts, so you will not hear any Jay-Z concert recaps on this pod. Unfortunately, I did not go. I wasn't really that interested. I'm not going front. I tried to go when the tickets came out. We talked about that. The tickets came out. I was 850-some-odd thousand in line, and unfortunately, there's not 850-some-odd thousand tickets available, so I didn't make it. Obviously, when the date got closer, tickets were, there was some more released, and, you know, there was the thought of it, you know, and I'm not going to lie, I typically don't get no FOMO, but my FOMO levels went up to about 15% on the Friday before. I was a little like, should I go, you know, that whole thing, but held strong, did not go. And they didn't get any higher than that. You know, I saw some of the clips of the first show, at least, on YouTube, which is a great concert venue if you're not familiar. Really good, great seating, you know. But, pretty cheap. But, it looked cool. I just wasn't, you know, to be totally honest with you, I wasn't that pressed. I've seen Jay-Z perform plenty of times. You know. And nostalgia don't get me that high no more. You know, like I wasn't really like Reasonable Doubt, great album. Blueprint, one of my favorites. Jay-Z, probably my favorite living rapper. You know what I mean? I ain't really care. Honestly, I'd rather hear some new shit. I would rather hear some new music from Hov just to see what he's talking about. I was talking to a friend of mine this weekend, and he's definitely a super Jay-Z fan for sure, hip-hop bona fide, you know, and he was like, yo, I'm a little nervous to hear Hov rap, the new Hov, you know? He's like, do you really want to hear that? And I was like, yeah, but I could see both sides of that, you know? You know what I mean? As I do get older, I have found myself feeling like, sadly, I'm feeling like I'm aging out of hip hop. Like, I don't feel like I got the same level of excitement about it. You know, I feel like I've heard it all. You know, ain't too much shit that makes me like, oh, wow, this is blowing my mind. Or it's not too many albums that come out to where I'm like, oh, nah, this deserves to stay in heavy rotation. You know, I find myself, I'm putting podcasts on way more, R&B, soul, jazz, you know what I mean? Like, So, but there's the thing of, you know, the greats. I want to see, you know, how they handle the times. You know, one of the great minds. What would he talk about? You know, how would he talk about what's going on? But yeah, so I didn't go, like I said, the nostalgia thing. It's not really my type of thing. And I would be lying if I was to front and say that that Target shit didn't have a little bit to do with what kind of, you know what I mean, dampered it, put a damper on it. You know, I was just kind of like, nah, I ain't like that. I ain't like how that move went, you know. Doing business with like the only company that the black community seems to be in an active, thriving boycott with, just kind of seemed like, come on. Like, and the thing is, look, I already know this man's always been about his bread, you know, can't knock the hustle, right? But then when I seen the freestyle, which came across real defensive, I'm a Target. It's like, come on, Pop. You know what I mean? Trying to throw Kaepernick under the bus, and allegedly that seems to be untrue, whatever. That had something to do with it, too. You know, again, with the fact of, like, look, these albums been out for 25, 30 years. I've heard them in various contexts. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't that pressed. Yeah. But, yeah, I did feel a way about that. I'd been wanting to talk about it. But I felt a way about it. I was more so disappointed than even like upset or outraged. You know, that's the other thing. You know, I think that there's this thing now, a lot of people that will come out talking about, you know, seems like people have selective outrage about this. And, you know, and that shit's been going on for a while. That phrase has been going on for a while. I probably said it. You know what I mean? Chris Rock named his last special Selective Outrage. And, you know, beyond that, it's been traveling. But then I thought about it one day and I was like, yo, hold on. What the fuck does that? Of course my outrage is selective. Everything I do is selective. You know, like, nigga, do you know how exhausted I would be if I wasn't selective about my outrage? Like, I'm selective about everything, about what I eat, where I go, what shows I watch, what movies I watch, what women I date, you know what I'm saying? Like, the whole shit. Like, I'm not just, you gotta pick your spots. You gotta pick your spots, because if you just outraged about every fucking thing, you're gonna burn out. You'll be done for. You know? That's why I try to adhere to this little 30 minutes before I crack the phone, because I know it's gonna be some dumb shit on the phone. Lindsey Graham's fucking sister gets to replace his seat. Like, that's ridiculous. I'm not even going to get outraged over that, but that shit is like, what the fuck is going on? ICE out here killing people on some bullshit. Now, that's upsetting, you know? But again, like, the America that we have here, we are in an America, you know what I mean? If we still, you know, even as crazy as the shit looks and as wild and divisive as it is, still America, and that's the thing. We got freedom of speech and, you know, the freedom to critique and feel away. As black people say, I feel away about that shit. So sometimes when I see people that I fuck with looking funny in the light, I'm a feel away. And it seems weird when, like, particularly if you say anything about Jay-Z, it gets shot down. It's like, you can't critique that man. That even make you want to critique him more, because it's like, come on now, what the fuck? Is this the establishment? You know what I mean? Like, if anything, hip-hop has always been anti-establishment. It needs to stay anti-establishment. We allow the establishment to co-opt hip-hop fully. It's over. It's going to be over for black people, for sure. Hip-hop arguably is the biggest cultural movement for black people since the Civil Rights Movement. We need to be, we still, that shit needs to have the voice of the resistance. It can't be a tool for capitalism, even though it has been, but it can't be all that. You know what I mean? But, yeah, so I didn't go. I didn't go to the joint. I didn't go to the Gen X homecoming. You know what I'm saying? I got friends of mine, a lot of friends of mine that did go. A lot of them look like they had a good time. You know what I'm saying? I saw some of the clips. Some of the clips look cool. I thought the... Beyonce cutting Jay-Z's hair in the bleachers. That was a crazy stunt. That was fire to start the show. Blue Ivy playing the keys to Feeling It. That was fire. Nas and Jay. That was the best time. That's the best Nas and Jay on stage I've ever seen before, with them rocking over each other's beats. That shit was dope. So I'm sure the shit was fun. My heart wasn't all the way in it, but yeah. Salute, though. You know, it still is. It's a moment. Sunday, I went out to Brooklyn, caught Bilal and Gina at Summer Stage, and that shit was chill. That shit was real nice. That was a nice little vibe. It was actually beautiful. The weather was right where it needed to be. Wasn't too hot. Wasn't too cold. It wasn't even too crowded. It was in Vaughn King Park, and sometimes that shit could get a little crowded. I seen Common and Pete Rock there, and it was hot, and it was packed. I think the Jay-Z weekend probably definitely helped with the crowds everywhere else, if you were to call it help. But, yeah, so it was nice. It was a nice little bit of room. I walked in there. I said, oh, shit. Immediately, I looked at the spot because I guess I was planning to stand. Well, honestly, I was planning to move without a plan, because the last time I said it on this mic, the last time I went out there for the Pete Rock Common show, I was like, yo, I gotta get my summer seat together, my little fold chair that I keep in the trunk. I have not pulled the trigger because I just totally forgot about it. But I get out there and I see that it's a nice little vibe. It's not too crowded. Like I said, there's space on the lawn by the stage, towards the front of the stage. I said, hold on. I ran back to the car, got the big towel. I had a big towel in my trunk now. Sometimes I'll be eating in the whip. I'm not proud to say this, but sometimes, you know, if you're eating in the whip, you eat certain shit like a beef patty or slice of pizza, whatever. You want to eat and drive. You don't want to spill that shit, so you throw a towel on. You know what I mean? So I got a big old towel in the trunk that was freshly laundered. I was like, yup, let me go grab that shit. Whoop. Put that on the lawn. I snuck in a nice frozen nutcracker from my crib. Got me a nice bottle of water. And I was chill. Everything was cool. Everything was cool. The nutcracker got me the right level of folded to enjoy the show. Not nasty drunk, but nice. Just beyond buzzed. You know what I'm saying? Like, woo, feeling it, you know? Like, the shit was rocking. This shit was, yeah. Where every song is your song. That type of nice. This was my first time seeing Gina. You know, I guess you want to call them the outfit. Gina, you know, stands for, I forget what Gina stands for. I'd have to look that up. But Gina stands for something. I'll probably put it up on the Instagram stories. But it's the singer is this woman named Liv, and it's Kareem Riggins doing the production. So they came out. It was kind of spare. She got on the mic and sang. And Kareem Riggins played the drums, and he was killing that shit. I was like, oh, shit. Like, you know, because it's interesting. It's one thing to be a certain producers, even though if I know them from drums, I'm thinking that they, you know, on their MP or, like, you know what I'm saying? They're something like that. Like, they using machines and shit like that where they, you know, drum machines. I didn't really know they could really play the drum. He was playing the shit out them drums. So that shit was dope. And Liv was doing her thing. And she's got good energy and good stage banter. So it made me want to revisit the album, you know, because I listened to the album once before and it was just fine. You know, like I think I had high hopes. I was introduced to him by one of their visuals that I thought was kind of ill. And then I like Kareem Riggins. I like the stuff that he does. So I had high hopes for the album. It was all right. It didn't blow me away, but I'm gonna sit with it because not quite a few people. One of my homies, he's like one of, you know, whose opinion, music opinion I typically fuck with. he speaks highly of it. So I checked it out later on that night, and it was cool. And then Bilal got on there again. Somebody I've seen perform plenty of times, who's a beast on stage. Voice is crazy. That first album is super classic. But then there's other records throughout, some of the other records that he's put out that stand up on stage, you know? And like, yeah, he rocked it. It was interesting to see him do Sometimes, which is probably one of my favorite songs by him, if not my favorite song by him. But that song could be a little, you know, it is a little problematic. You know what I'm saying? There's some lines in there that are like, hey, yo, especially that don't really age well. It was interesting to see how he dealt with it, how he performed it, how he didn't say certain things. It was kind of cool. But yeah, overall, I had a good time with that. So that was fun. That was a good time. I'm up to date on the Shy. I haven't really been recapping it here, so I'm not going to start now, but I'm up to date on it. It's been good. It's been good. The Shy has held my interest. They are good for adding so many new people and adding so many new storylines that sometimes it can get frustrating because some of these other people's storylines kind of get shortchanged. But the balance is okay this time, and I think some of the main characters are shining or having cool storylines. Like this season, Tiffany's been having a really strong storyline, probably more than ever. Like she's got a lot more focus than ever. She's always been around, but like this one is substantial. So there's that. I found myself rooting for Bakari and Lene as a couple. We'll see what happens with that. But overall, I will say this. They don't know how to keep their mouth shut. Like everybody is in everybody's business. It's a big ass game of telephone in the Shy. That's all they doing is talking about each other. You know, O Block must stand for, oh, you ain't know such and such. You know, such and such just started selling drugs the other day. Oh, you ain't know such and such just caught a body the other day. Oh, you ain't know that's such and such baby father. Like, it's a lot of ratting and snitching going on. Nobody knows how to just keep shit to themselves. As soon as somebody tell you some type of information, the next scene, that information is going back into the world. It's kind of frustrating, but I guess that's the device to keep the plot moving. And it's like, damn, there's nothing but loose lips over here. You know what I mean? Before I cracked the mic, I saw some of the World Cup. Is France versus Spain. I can't believe how invested I've become in the World Cup in just over a week. Last week, I was kind of like, you know what I mean? A little bit on the fence. It was like, okay, let me see. But I guess the drama of this whole thing, you know, and I was rocking with France because they got the kid Mbappe, you know what I mean? The black cat that's, you know, like going to take on the oppressors. You know what I'm saying? Like I just want somebody to beat Argentina. That's all. And Mbappe was out here getting busy, but shit, Spain took him out of there. Spain ain't too much better than Argentina. I mean, it's a little better. Argentina got fucking nigger burgers. That's why Argentina cannot win. They cannot win selling nigger burgers. So somebody get them motherfuckers out of here, please. Yeah, that's it. I'm gonna probably watch Argentina and England today when they come out. Hopefully England will dust them off, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think Argentina's going all the way, and they're going to play whoever gets there against them, you know, because they got the dude Messi, and he's a beast. Before we jump into this Raising Canaan recap, I do want to let y'all know I have been watching, well, I just got back into House of Dragons. I'm about two episodes in. I think it's four episodes in. Maybe if I catch up, I'll start recapping in a little bit. You know, I know that's a Muhammad show. You know what I'm saying? So that's you know, it's kind of weird to be chopping it up about them thrones without Young Muhammad. But let's see what's what. I hear the people, you know, talking about it and shit. A couple people have hit me. Yo, you ain't watching House of Dragons? And it took me a minute to get to it. Because one, is dense. And then two, so many of them look the same. Damon and Aegon and Egnan, whatever, they look similar. One got the eye patch, one, but then you don't always wear the eye patch. They all got the blonde, you know, little updos. And then, you know, sometimes the black folks, they don't always shine as well as they should. This season, the first two episodes I've seen, they've been all right. There's this one moment where the one girl, they got her looking like a crackhead with a dragon. I ain't like that. But overall, it's pulled me back in. I've started to get the flow again. I fuck with Rhaenyra. You know what I'm saying? That's the homie. I got to the point to where she just got back on the throne. She just got back on the throne. I think she just cut Allison's father's head off. And Allison kind of, I want to say, kind of let her, you know, help her get to the throne. And she pull up. She like, damn, my father head hadn't even been discarded. I just got to act like I don't see this. They have a moment. She's like, you know what it is. You know, we cool, but this is what it is. I ain't even really want to do it. I was snot-nosed doing it. I damn near fucked it up, actually. I had to take two swipes. And this motherfucker was talking shit before I bust him down. Pause. But yeah, you know, it was it's good. It's starting to get back into the groove of things. So I'll probably, if I'm up to date, I'll talk about that next week. But in the meantime, we gotta go to this Southside Jamaica, Queens. We are Raising Kanan, episode 5, season 5, School of War. Man, this shit got a 9.6 on the rating, on a 9.6 rating on IMDb. Not that I even look at ratings, Rotten Tomatoes, any of them places, but I ain't gonna lie to you, this was a good-ass episode. This was a good-ass episode. Wee! This was a good-ass episode. It was directed by Mario Van Peebles. Come on now. Legend. It starts off seeing Rock and Marvin, you know, just kind of feels like not they starting to erode, but the frustration mixed with lack of communication is really starting to affect them. Like, Rock finally, what did she finally tell Marvin? Oh, she told Marvin the whole thing about the bad batch of dope that killed the judge. Marvin's like, yo, why you ain't tell me? He was like, I needed to hold on to this information so I could figure out what I do before I tell you, because you know, you're going to wild out, and I got to kind of mitigate everything. Those type of leaders be the worst leaders. You know what I'm saying? But I guess I understand it, because Marvin is a hothead. He does fly off the handle kind of quickly. So I get it. But it just feels like she ain't got no patience for him, and he is frustrated with the fact that he don't really have much say. Like, he says shit, but she don't always really consider his, you know, his opinion on things. You know what I'm saying? Like, not really. He's almost just like, just the muscle, you know? It's just a sounding board, but I don't really want to hear what you got to say, to be totally honest with you. That's kind of what I'm picking up. But anyway, so they start and they talking about that. Kanan is starting to come into his power now. No pun intended, but, you know, he's starting to kind of get his legs in this shit, you know, get his legs in it. The more he's doing it, he met with Stefano, and, you know, I'm not feeling this season how Stefano is trying to use, whether it's Breeze or Kanan, even Rock, trying to move them like they pawns to get his agenda over, or even snaps and pop, you know, like the whole, listen, I'm not going to get my hands dirty. I want to eat off of everything, but I don't want to get my hands dirty. And then he's upset. His ego's still fragile and is really upset about the whole Rock thing. And he's trying to kind of get somebody to handle Rock, right? But he don't want to do it. And the beauty is, like I seen, you know, he's trying to tell Kanan about Rock and what she's doing and how she can't be trusted and all of this. And this is a bit of a theme throughout the episode, because not only is Stefano talking to Kanan about Rock, there's also a moment where Breeze is talking to Kanan about Rock. And Kanan's like, he's not an idiot. You know, he does stupid shit because he's just young and, like, reckless, and he doesn't have the experience or wisdom from experience. He's just all heart, and he don't really, like, he might not really process things in a way that's, like, on an OG level. He's still on the come up. He's still wilding. He's a little better than he has, and he's stubborn and, you know, all of that. But anyway, to both of them, he's like, listen, I know Rock. I know Rock better than all of y'all. And honestly, I don't need either one of y'all to try to, you know, manipulate me or try to create some type of wedge between me and my mom's. I'm upset with my mother. I got teenage angst. You know what I'm saying? Like, trust me, I source my own beef with my mom's. Like, this, I don't need y'all throwing me alley-oops. Trust me, I'm pissed off. I held a gun to her. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if y'all know, but we ain't cool. We not on, you know, we ain't even cordial. I don't know if you saw us outside the funeral. We ain't have much to say. So anyway, so there's that. Juke gets run up on by Garcia. She trying to play him to the left because she don't have all his money. He's starting to lose his patience. He's like, listen, if you don't get my bread, it's going to be a problem. This is the second I'm telling you for the last time. So I don't know. I'm starting to look at Garcia as a bit of a pump faker. You know, but, you know, noted, you caught that. We cut to Rock. She's going to see Pino. And Pino already heard from Stefano about Rock allegedly trying to kill her or to kill him. So he asks her, he says, yo, what's going on? You sent some people to try to kill Stefano? She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, she just held to her line. I have no clue what you're talking about. I think he's just salty. I think this, you know, again, he's very aggravated that I don't work with him anymore. He's saying anything at this point. I have no clue what you're talking about. She plays stupid. He says, okay, I bet. He know. But he's saying, I bet. I take you at your word. If that's what it is, you want to lie to me, fair enough. Okay, cool. You bring me money. And you bring me joy. So we're gonna have to ride this shit out. We see a moment where Kanan goes to pick up the pills from one of the dispatchers. And the dispatcher, you know, he hasn't been informed that Kanan is the new Taz. So when Kanan pulls up, the guy's, you know, he's not trying to give him no money. He's not trying to give him anything. He's like, I don't know you. You know, I don't know who are you? He's like, I'm Kanan. Breeze put me in trouble. He's like, well, listen, Breeze ain't tell me nothing. He pull out a gun, you know. And Kanan's like, all right, bet. He pull out the phone. He called Breeze. Breeze pulls up. They throw this big motherfucker a vicious ass whipping. This is a theme on this show. A vicious ass. It's like, it's just a little overzealous ass whipping. And the first time I watched it, I was like, yeah, that was a little unnecessary. I still do think it was a little unnecessary. They just got excited. They got, you know, they got the momentum of like, yo, nigga, we all kicking this nigga's ass. Yo, we having fun, huh? Ah, stomping them with the sub-zeros on. The 40 belows, I'm stomping them. Woo, we having a good time. And initially I was like, that's over the top. And it still is over the top. But then at the first time, I didn't realize that he pulled the gun out. Now, he ain't drawed on him, but he pulled the gun out. So some people could be like, all right, now you ain't need to pull the gun out. You know what I'm saying? You could have just said, listen, I need to get a little bit more, some confirmation from Breeze. Do me a favor. You know, they both were kind of talking to each other real, real, real spicy, especially for it to be there, for both of them to be on their first encounter meeting each other. There were no pleasantries. So unfortunately, you know, my man got his jaw broke for sure. We cut to Juke in the house making a dry ass peanut butter and jelly sandwich, drinking water with it. No milk, just water. That's struggle. That's when you got to really, that's when you got some thinking to do about your financial situation. You know, sometimes the meals you make will tell you where you stand financially and what moves you need to make. Sometimes you might not even consciously look at it. But if you were to take a photo of that plate and share it on social media, niggas will let you know. Niggas will let you know. So this is a struggle meal before it was deemed a struggle meal. So she's in there about to bust that down or try her best. And then, you know, Marvin come in. Marvin, you know, trying to catch up. Marvin's like, yo, what's up with Kanan? Where he at? She's like, oh, he ain't doing what he do. What's that? You know, what the fuck he do? You know what I'm saying? But then that also shows me, and I also see a little later that, you know, Kanan and Juke have been kind of estranged a bit. You know, they ain't really as tapped in as they once were. You know, so she's not really up on what Kanan's doing ever since he got down with Breeze. And vice versa. She's, you know, he's not really up on what Juke has been doing, you know. So I think that's a big theme about this episode is this. It's been a theme for the show, but particularly this season, for sure, is the generational divide, right? That's been the thing with Raising Kanan, you know, even in the title, Raising Kanan, right? So Rock still sees Kanan as her baby, as like just a young kid. Similarly, Marvin sees Jukebox as his little daughter, you know, but as much as they wanted to shield them from the streets, they live in the headquarters for all of the shit that's going down. So they seeing it, and it's not even peripherally. It's there. And it's almost like they're telling you, though, you know, it's like, do as I say, not as I do. And, you know, that never really works when it comes to parenting, you know. And I think, I mean, it's been very much expressed throughout season after season after season. Kanan and Jukebox are very frustrated and upset with the fact that they're around it, but they can't be a part of it. You know, like they can't participate. They feel like they can add something, you know. And then again, they're still looked at as kids, as older and, you know, as they've gotten older and older and older and older. And it's funny because, you know, I've revisited the pilot of Raising Kanan not too long ago. I was just even looking at some photos. They have gotten older over the years. Like, you see it. Like, you could really see them aging. Now, if these were your kids, it may not be as evident. Because, shit, I'm just a viewer. And, like, it's stark, you know. No pun intended again. It's stark where you see, like, oh, shit, wow. This motherfucker was a little motherfucker. You know, it's like a kid. They ain't kids no more. I mean, they might still be teens or whatever, but they in the street. They're in the street. Whether their parents want to recognize it or not, or they want to minimize it or whatever, they in the streets. They making money. They're facing risks, you know, and they feel as though they deserve a certain level of respect. And honestly, seem willing to die for it. So that's the push and pull, you know what I mean? Beyond everything else that's going on outside, but within the family, that's the real push and pull. I don't say the ops, but that's the real, you know, that's the real resistance. Like, damn, you know? So with that said, we starting to see a lot of that. We're starting to see like the emotions kind of bleed into the decision-making on both Rock's side and Kanan's side. Breeze has a moment after they stomp a mud hole in my man. They go and, you know, they go to the diner and they chop it up. And Breeze makes it a point to say, you know, listen, man, business got to be personal. Personal got to be business. You know, like I'm seeing you. You don't want to move. You got to get something off of everything that you do. You know, don't just do shit just to be doing shit. Don't just be out here wilding, because it's not gonna work out. It's gonna fuck things up. You know, Breeze is heavy with this. Breeze, I'm starting to get. I'm really rocking with Shameik Moore as he's putting this Breeze character together, because he's an archetype. Like, he's a liar, but he's like one of them liars, and we all had liars. Shit, I've been a liar, but we've all had liars. Like, you've known liars that are like, that's their language. They lie effortlessly. The lies be elaborate, but they be moving like, you know, there's a few little tells here and there, but you don't know what is true. When they tell you some shit, you'd have no clue what. So this whole Kanan, we half brothers, he leaning on that. Who's to say? Who's to say? A lot of people, there's discussion. Shout out to Nate Dean. She was like, yo, Rock was only DEFCON's beard. They may have never had a kid. Well, we know that. We obviously know DEFCON is not Rock. I mean, Kanan's father. That's Howard, right? So if that's the thing, then they definitely ain't brothers. But Kanan don't know that. And maybe Breeze does. Actually, maybe Breeze is DEFCON's son. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's gay cats out there with kids. Who knows? But, you know, or maybe he's just using that. Because then when Kanan's like, yo, how you DEFCON's son, but then your pop's nephew? How that work? And he, you know, I don't know if he's lying, but it's just smooth. Well, you know, this happened with this, and pop is my mother's brother, and this, you know, all of that shit. And he would, why your last name this? Well, you know, my mom, she started messing with this, it's like 5% dude or real, you know, and then she took his name, and then they gave that to me, and she's like, got an answer for everything. So you never know. But either way, they put the battery in each other back. You know what I'm saying? Like, they really ready to get on some Starsky and Hutch type shit, you know? Breeze is like, I'm gonna cut you in on this pill business. They got to keep that low because, you know, Snaps and Pop don't even know about this. This is my own thing. I'm going to cut you in on that because you're my brother, you know, which is, you know, like, it's a lot of charming and dazzling and, you know, talking that shit. I think Kanan is savvy enough not to get too swept up in it. You know, he's cautious. He's smart enough to at least be cautious. He's not too wet behind the ears. So you see that. We have a little scene with Uncle Marvin and his white niece. You know, she is a kid. So I'm not going to say too much about the acting, but I will say no wonder the cops don't believe her. Pino pulls up on Stefano, comes to Stefano's house, and basically says, listen, don't fuck with Rock while she's earning. She's earning from me. Son that man in his own house. You know? Pino's about his business. He know that Rock tried to get Stefano killed. Stefano knows that he knows. Everybody knows. You know, but she's an earner. She's bringing in money. And, you know, so he's justified the shit. He was like, listen, I want to stay out of it. Stefano's like, but she works for you. He's like, she works for herself. She just pays rent. She's a tenant. So if anybody, my tenants, don't fuck with my tenants. As long as they paying rent, that's the last thing you want to do. Threatens that man in his own home and then spoofs up out of there. So Stefano's still stewing. Like I said, Breeze tells Kanan about Rock killing DEFCON, trying to put a wedge between them. But, you know, Kanan don't need no reason to be bad at Rock. So that, you know, that don't do too much. Juke tells Marvin over that dry ass sandwich that she wants to get in the game. She wants to start moving her own work. She's not making enough at the bar to pay off Garcia. And Garcia is the second time Garcia done ran up on her. And it could get nasty. And she wants in. Marvin don't really want her to do the shit. She's like, listen, it's either going to be with you or with somebody. So Marvin, he's setting her up. He's like, yeah, we're going to set you up. Me and Rock, we're going to take a big percentage out the whole thing. She's like, I know how it works. He said, you think you know how it works. And that's the problem. So That's happening. Juke goes out into the world, starts recruiting, starting with her old low-life crew, you know, bring them on. Like, then she goes to her shorty from the bar, you know, her girl that she been, you know, jumping off with. Say, yo, I got you a little something. So she look like she's starting to build her little crew. We're going to see how that develops. Rock tells Marvin to go over to Flossie to smooth things over, you know, just to make sure everything is good, make sure that, you know, business is cool, that she don't cool off on the relationship or whatever, because Flossie is fond of Marvin. So Marvin go over there, and I don't know if Marvin is just trying to play to whatever he sees and just kind of conversation pieces or whatever, but this is the second time he done asked about this bar mitzvah or this bat mitzvah, and I don't know if he about to have a yarmulke on this high top by the end of this season or what. But and I didn't mean that as innuendo, but if so, that's ill. But Flossie seems to dig Marvin, so they got a nice little rapport. She opens up a little bit about the death of her daughter. Basically, seems like she was hit by a young kid who shouldn't have been driving, who happened to be drunk, and I want to say T-boned the car, but the kid was connected to a judge or somebody like that. He's a rich kid, so he got off. I don't even think he had any probation or nothing like that. A year later, the kid winds up getting knocked off the platform, waiting on the 3 train. Mom was like, yo, that's a pretty big platform. She was like, well, he was really drunk, you know, kind of like, you know, wink, wink. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to tell you, even though I don't like a whole lot of coy double talk and coded language, she don't really. This was probably the first time. I was about to say, she definitely does hint at her being aggressive. No, this is the first time she kind of hinted at it, but she's going to let you know, listen, I'm going to get some shit done if need be. I like Flossie. I'm still trying to see if there's an angle with her, but so far I'm fucking with her. I was meaning to IMDb her to see if I, because she looked familiar. I might have said this already, but she looks familiar. I got this thing, and I thought it was just with black actors, just off the strength of me being black and my solidarity to the community, but it was like, I don't like to IMDb black actors that look familiar. Like, I like to just, you know what I'm saying, try to bring the shit, like, I know this motherfucker from somewhere. Like, I gotta do that for a while and trigger the shit rather than go to a resource. You know what I'm saying? It's like not wanting to Shazam a record. You know what I'm saying? I know this shit. I ain't gonna Shazam this shit. You know what I'm saying? It's a black actor. I should know this shit. But similarly with Flossie, I'm like, yo, she look familiar. She a comic? I don't think so. But I'm like, where do I know her face from? I was going to IMDb it because it's not the same as with a black actor, but I just haven't gotten to it. So maybe I'll do that next week because I'm not going to do it right now. But if y'all want to tell me where I might know her from in the comments, we could do that too. Y'all could be a resource. But by that time, I've probably already IMDb'd her. But either way, they get along famously. They have a good time. At some point, I don't know if they're gonna really get at each other, or they're just gonna keep it platonic with just some thick sexual tension going on between the two of them. There was a lot of drop down panning to the next scene. Maybe not a lot, but I seen at least 3 times where the camera kind of go down and then descend into the next scene. Y'all watch it again, you'll see what I'm talking about. You may have seen it already. Stefano has a little pop-up meeting with Breeze, trying to convince Breeze to fuck up Rock's supply. Breeze is like, but I don't understand. If Rock is moving work in Manhattan and we in Queens, why are we even dealing with all of this shit? Stefano's like, she tried to kill me. You know what I mean? And Breeze is like, all right, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, but your actions don't really support your anger. You know, you really like just delegating all of this shit. But I guess that's what comes with being a boss. You don't get your hands dirty no more, but it's kind of killing me. It's like, come on, Stefano. If you really feeling that froggy, then jump. Stop asking motherfuckers to to leap off their own lily pads. Garcia, Marvin, and Juke sit down. Marvin helps Juke get Garcia, the rest of Garcia's money back in the donut shop. This point, Juke asks about Famous. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about, whatever, whatever. She's like, well, I need you to get some more information. He's like, it's a cold case. He's like, well, that's my expectation, especially for this money. So he's like, all right, it's going to take me some time. Pino and Rock, they meet again. He tells Rock he vouched for, lets her know he knows she did the killings. I think he said that. I'm almost positive. And he also tells her to be mindful of Kanan. You know, like, really be mindful. Like, keep an eye out. And she's like, I'm going to keep an eye. He's like, nah, I think you need to keep more than an eye out on this cat. He's in cahoots with Stefano. He's in cahoots. Cahoots, boy. That shit is real. Motherfuckers is in cahoots. That's grimy. That's dirty work. Cahoots. Anyway, so he also, you know, Lynn leads with the ask the last question, felt very menaced to society. But he asked Rock, he was like, are you a good parent, Raquel? It's like they isolated that shit so it could just sit with her. And I think it really just kind of hit her because it's like, look, he's basically saying, listen, before your kid goes too far, you need to slap his hand. For, you know, sake of a better, you know, it's like a metaphor. Like, you gotta strike quick, preemptively, before shit gets out of hand. Make sure that, you know, they stay in the child's place. But it's way too late at this point. But that's echoing in our head. We see Jarita and Kanan laid up. Now it's pro bono. You know what I'm saying? It's no charge now. It's gratis. You know what I'm saying? He ain't paying for nothing. She's like, nah. She kind of falling for him. I don't know if he falling for her or he's still kind of bleeding her for information. But, he kissing her on the mouth. You know, listen, everybody deserves love, but she's actively working. There's one point she's like, look, I got a date, but I can see you later. Wait a minute. They just... Anyway, she also is loose with the lips. No, again, no pun intended. But she's a talker. All she do is, and then this happened, and then that happened. Kanan don't say shit. He just sit there and listen. She could have been on the shy the way that all she do is just share other people's information. She's like, yo, he's at her house now. She's like, yo, let's go take me on a date. You know what I'm saying? He like, well, I got to go to work. You know, she's like, well, what do you do? He said, I got the type of work. I'm in the business where I can't tell people my business. She's like, I kind of know what you do. You know what I mean? He said, yeah, man, if you really knew what I did, you would know that information you've been giving me is valuable. You should get a little bump in your pay. But I'll take you out tomorrow. She goes on her date. She is not feeling being in the game no more. She gets to her date. Date got, like, you know, a little outfit. He's like, yo, I want you to play office worker. She goes in there. She looks at the outfit in the mirror. She ain't feeling it. She's like, I don't want to do this shit no more. She takes the shit, gives him back the money, steps off. Flossie confronts her about it, says, yo, what's going on? Why didn't you had a date? Why'd you leave your date? She's like, yeah, I was on my period. He's like, well, not by my tracking, you know what I mean? Flossie got your whole dossier. Stop playing. You know you ain't got your period yet. She's like, I just wasn't feeling. I got cold feet. It was like, well, we not out here about your feet, you know? He said, now, this is the second time that you've had this. Jarita, I need you to get your shit together. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm trying to be patient, but you fucking with my money. So we can't have this no more. Flossie meets with Stefano. Stefano asks to meet with Flossie. I guess, you know, Stefano's really trying to shut Rock down any way he can. Anybody he knows that's working with her, he's trying to just poison their opinion of her. You know, she's a cancer. Don't work with her. So, again, he called Flossie. Now, Flossie knows him. Flossie says, I'm really making this visit based on the fact that, you know, my father really loved you. So now we know that her father was, I guess, in the mob, or at least adjacent. You know what I'm saying? Her father, Mo. Stefano trying to be slick with her. He said, "Oh, I see why your father kept you away from us." You know, and she was like, "Well, I guess I wish he did the same thing about orthodontists." You know what I mean? He's like, "Ah, you know, shit." He says, "Civilians, full of surprises. You know, at least you know what you're getting with us." I like that little back and forth. But Flossie is standing tall. Again, we know Flossie don't even really like doing business with men. You feel like they could be a little too overbearing. So she ain't really trying to hear too much about how this woman that she's a partner with is not a good fit for her business, you know. But out of respect, she listens and then she steps off. I thought at that moment, I thought Stefano was going to drop on her the bad work, but I guess he doesn't know that, because I'm sure if he did, he would have told her that, and that could have fucked up the trust. But anyway, she steps off. Breeze has Kanan come through to go on a blind mission. Kanan, again, he young and just thirsty, kind of. He ready to do whatever, down for whatever, for sure, but he don't even know what he down for. And that's the ignorance, I would say, of youth. You know, like, you don't even, you're not plotting, you're not planning, you don't know what you're walking into. So basically, Breeze is like, "Yo, we got to go to work." Hands him a gun. "We about to do this." They pull up to a fight, like one of these underground fights. Got Kanan outside. Breeze winds up killing Joaquin, Rock's plug, Joaquin's bodyguard, and Joaquin while Joaquin is in the bathroom. And right before he puts a bullet in Joaquin's head, Joaquin says to him, he says, "The same thing will happen to you someday." And Breeze says to Joaquin, "I'm going to deserve it, just like you." Pat kills him. Done. We see Garcia out having a drink with his cop buddies, trying to get a lead or just a little bit of some new information about the Figueroa cold case. And one of the cops says, "Yeah, man, we kind of stopped fucking with that once we saw that it was linked to Howard." So now maybe that information is going to come back. Maybe at some point Kanan will find out that Howard was his father. Who knows? Rock is starting to move erratic now. Both her and Kanan seem to be, you know, like motivated by personal feelings, right? And again, I think what Pino said about Kanan, about, you know, you need to strike before he strikes. You know, you're the parent. You need to kind of set the tone, you know, create the boundary, whether it's by force or whatever. So Rock says to Marvin, "Grab one of Kanan's bike boys." See, I think that's how limited, even though she did meet with Breeze, she doesn't even know the scale of his operation. Like, Kanan is kind of almost stepped away from the bike courier game. He passed that off to Taz at one time. I don't know who has that now, but that's not his real, it don't seem like that's going to be his real bread and butter. He's starting to get, you know, they moving real shit. They on corners. Now they got the pills. Like, the bikes, that's just like an offshoot. But I think that's what she thinks that is, like, his main business. You know, well, maybe not, because she did shoot up 150th. Anyway, she's telling Marvin, "Yo, go grab one of Kanan's bike boys." He doesn't understand. He's like, "That's drastic. You know, you going to grab one of his little league friends?" Because, they see them as kids. You know, they don't really see him as a threat, even though Rock has kind of, she's been stirred a little bit to where it's like, "Nah, we gotta play offense now." So she's like, "Nah, go grab one of them. I'm trying to tell you that." So Marvin reluctantly, he goes out, two of his homies, they wind up catching the lieutenant, smashing him with the car when he's riding his scooter, gets him, brings him back. Looks like they got him like in some little pool somewhere, like at a rec center or something, like an empty pool. Got him tied to a chair. Marvin and beat on him. Kid is bloody. He ain't got nothing to say. He's like, "I don't know." She's like, "What did he say about me?" He's like, "I don't know. He don't even be talking about you." She tells Marvin, "Yo, hit him again." Marvin's like, "Hold on." Marvin pull off to the side for a little sidebar, Like, Rock, you bugging. You want to know if he's saying something about you? What you talking about? Like, what's the problem? Like, he already, this cat has nothing. He has no information. Trust me, he has no information. She's like, nah, we at war and he's a soldier. She spins around, shoots him like 4 times in the chest. Boom, 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 boom. She's jumped off the damn cliff. She's gone. Marvin is like stunned. Like, yo, you're bugging. He giving her that look. Yo, what the fuck is going on? That's when Rock conveniently tells Marvin, Kanan killed Lou. Kanan killed Lou. What? What are you talking about? Said, I thought, you know, you thought it was unique. No, Kanan killed Lou. She conveniently leaves out the fact that it was by mistake and that she covered for Kanan. Anyway, you know, Marvin is predictably off the chain. So he don't even ask any follow-up questions. This motherfucker speeds over to Kanan's house. Kanan over there because Jukebox had just popped up on him to tell him that Famous was not Rock. Famous being killed was not Rock. And the way that he responded, like, and kind of shows again like they've grown apart, because she's like, yo, that's your man, that used to be your best friend, he's kind of on some other shit now. Anyway, Marvin gets up there banging on the door, boom, 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 boom. Both Juke and Kanan got their guns out, but he yells through the door, Kanan. He's like, oh, it's Marvin. Juke puts her gun away. It looked like Kanan was almost putting his gun away. Opens the door. Man, he opened the can of whoop ass. Marvin, boom, from the door. Bah, bah. I mean, he beat the shit out of Kanan. Like, this nigga is whipping his ass with gusto. Like, this shit is crazy. And they selling it good, both of them. Shout out to London Brown. Shout out to my man, what, Makai Curtis. Like, he's selling that shit. This motherfucker slipping off his own blood. Like, it's crazy. And then you could tell, this is a pent up ass whipping. You could tell by the shit that's said. Like, the truth come out in an ass whipping. There's one line where Marvin says, you ain't had no daddy to put you in your place. And then he says, I'm going to put you through the floor. Like, you know, this nigga's going crazy. I was nervous when Jukebox was pulling Marvin off. I thought in that moment, Kanan was going to get to his gun and shoot Marvin, but he didn't. He just got stomped the fuck out. It was a teachable moment. It's a teachable moment. You hear 50 say, you know, yeah, 50 say, yeah, sometimes when you get ass whipping like that, that shit, it make you think. You know what I'm saying? And it make you come back stronger. Come back with a vengeance. So we'll be looking for that. You know. Final thoughts is Rock is grimy. Grimy. She about just as grimy as Stefano. And it's just like she gotta have it her way. You know? Similar to Stefano, even if it's not in her neck of the woods no more, she got to have control. And London Brown is eating this season. It's crazy. I was nervous, though. I thought he was going to get killed because shout out to my man, Chris Lambert. He had texted me this. Shout out to you, Chris. Chris watched. He be watching that shit right when it dropped. He'll watch that shit at 12 a.m. I let it breathe first. You know what I'm saying? Because once you watch it, I'm one of them people, certain shit, certain shows, once you get to the credits, it's like, damn, it's over. It's like finishing a book. You're like, shit, I guess I got to wait a whole nother week for this shit. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes I like to chill. I don't want to just watch it immediately. But he texted me, yo, you watch Power? I was like, nah. And the way he texted me, I was like, oh, somebody done died. You know what I mean? So now I'm watching the whole episode on edge and shit. So in that moment when Marvin was fucking whipping Kanan ass, I thought Kanan was gonna pull the gun out and shoot him. That shit was good. Shout out to IMDb giving it a 9.6. But yeah, I thought that shit was good. What y'all think? Did y'all enjoy this episode? Y'all got any predictions on the episode? Yeah, let me know. Let's talk about it. All right, y'all. Let me tell you this before I leave. September 20th, Arlington Draft House. Sunday, September 20th, Arlington Draft House, 7 p.m. show. If you got people in that area, or if you're in that area, get your tickets now. Again, I'm trying to sell that shit out. I got something else the night before. I ain't going to announce it right now, but I got something else local the night before. I'll let y'all know by next week. But, yeah, that should be a vibe too. But, yeah, DamianLemon.com. Tickets are on sale right now. As always, tell a friend to tell a friend, and even an enemy, to get in the conversation.
Hello, hello, hello.
I'm out.